I fish every day and I love my fishing, but if there's something to be done, it's kind of like what Warren Buffett said once time. He said, someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
Hello and welcome to the Ireland on the Fly podcast about the people and places of fly fishing in Ireland. This week's episode is a fishery-focused one that sees us go to the eastern part of the country. It's an area that's probably neglected somewhat in terms of fly fishing coverage, and so we speak to Pat O'Toole from the Tremathboy and District Angling Association to find out more about that great historic River Boyne. But Tom, before we hear from Pat, how's the fishing been? After the wettest of springs, we've practically had a heat wave now and the dry weather seems set to continue.
Yeah, well, Dara, you know it firsthand because I gave you the call on Monday. I said, you know what, don't bother coming.
I was cursing you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, for those, Dara and myself, we're meant to have our day out on this week. And to be honest, it has just fell off a cliff. Yeah. It's fallen off a cliff here and the fly stopped hatching. And then we had, you know, 25 degrees it hit 25 on Tuesday. So yeah, look, it just really was worth it. I had a couple of tough days put in prior to that and just wasn't worth it. And to be honest, yeah, I haven't been up much this week at all. A lot of Irish people for this week and just said, look, hold on, we'll get days out again. Yeah, you know, there's no point in going on with it. So, you know, that's the way it's been. And it's been tough up until that. The week, the first week of it started off great, Dara. And it felt like this is it. And we all thought it was going to get better. But, you know, funny, that was the best it got. Something just didn't happen. The hatch was poor. It was patchy. Just, look, it was a poor season. Oh, no, mayfly season. Just, you know, and you get them. Funny, and we're talking there about, you know, he's talking about bad years. And we get on, we're talking to Pat later. But I say this quite often. There was a gillie here from years back, Frank Diskin. His name, poor Frank's passed away now. He was a neighbour of mine here. But Frank used to guide here. Frank ended up working for the Inland Fisheries, but he used to guide here. I remember him telling us in the pub once, back in the 50s, I think it was 1950 and 1951, the mayfly hatch went on this part of the lake. There were no mayflies. And what they would do, and here's the interesting thing, was there was four of them working out of Bernard's, Paul Sullivan's, Oakland's guest house, just down the road from me here. That was the fishing lodge at the time, right? And there was four of them, that were guiding there. And what they would do, they'd leave the clients in at the evening and they'd get into a car, the four of them, and they'd drive down to Brownstown in Lough Carra and they'd each collect a box of mayfly for themselves for the following day. So they would have a box. This wasn't to let them out. This was for the dappers that they had out.
Yeah, for the clients.
For the clients. So they'd have a box of mayfly for the clients in the morning.
They had to drive to Carra to get them.
Yeah, they had to drive to Carra, which is the other side of Ballon Road from here. So it's a 40-minute drive. And they would do that. And that happened in 1951, I think, if I recall correctly. It was the early 50s anyway. And then mayfly came back and it was never thought of again. You know, just
one of those.
Yeah. So these things can happen. You know, there are fluctuations. We're dealing with a big natural body of water. And there's a lot of factors we don't know about. But anyway, you didn't get down, you didn't get up, but I see, for anybody who's following Ireland on the Fly on Instagram, you got out in the shore. Oh,
yes, actually, because the last 2 weeks have been a shit show, pardon my language. I've had to cancel, three, I'll be dropping F-bombs next. I had to cancel three.
Hotness, John Hotness.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Monster rugby reference or anything else. I had to cancel three fishing trips due to work, communions, like May has been a write-off. Like I was just I was supposed to go mullet on the flight. It was my last chance to get out. Mm. Cancel that. Supposed to go to the Slaney. Had to cancel that. So where the hell else? I was supposed to go, so I had to cancel. And I was just, anyway, when you cancel carb, I had already booked the kind of day off work-wise, you know.
All pads.
Exactly. And so I decided, look, come hell or high water. And I don't know, it's kind of weird if because you're out, you know, because fishing is a way of life for you like that, I don't know if it's the same for you. Like when you haven't been out for a few weeks, you know, you're just like, you have to kind of put yourself out there, if you know what I mean. You have to get yourself in the frame of mind to it. So, and then I was looking at the sun baking down. So anyway, I went out and I was kind of in no hurry. I was just looking at a good few hours to kill, which was great, you know.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like grabbing an hour here or there. And I had a fabulous time just out. on the river for a couple of hours, just had it to myself. Just, I found a couple of shaded spots. I was dry dropper, nymphing, dry fly. I was just changing around all the time, picking up fish here and there, wherever I was going. And it was, yeah, it was just...
You had some beautiful fish. You had they were gorgeous.
The golden buttery colors. And you know what's funny, actually? And again, it just shows you the importance of having time. The first hour, nothing, right?
Yeah.
I think it was just, I think I was just finding my way. And then, you know, when you get to a stretch, for some reason that you just key into it. Now, I changed flies a few times. I changed actually because I was the nymph was much smaller and I went with a silver bead. But yeah, it was dry dropper. I was picking up mainly up on the dropper, but then, so then I was blind with the dry just to see if I could rise that. And there was a couple of fish came up, but yeah, it was probably.
And did you try the full lob?
See, actually, there was a comment on Instagram.
Somebody... I did, that's what I'm asking.
Oh, the dirt. So
I take it then you didn't. No, actually, I did.
No, I started off. Do you know what? I actually started off and said, no, couldn't be bothered. Day's too nice for this. I'm going to actually target a nice glide here and just, and actually, I wanted to get into the shady bits anyway. But, yeah, so look, it was, look, silver lining and all that. And yeah, and I enjoyed it. Now it's just, I keep coming back to, I have to try and do it bloody more often. That's the only bloody thing. So,
arrange more days for heat waves in the car.
Yeah, yeah, I'll book the car up. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I'll be gone for 24 hours. Actually, but come here, back to this week's episode. It's an interesting episode with Pat. It's a different kind of, so this is a different way of looking at the river and understanding the river and different issues that affect it. And it's, there's definitely some issues there I think are well worth kind of maybe delving into further, maybe more in the off season.
Yeah, obviously there is. And, you know, a lot has to be said, you know, the importance of clubs as well. And this comes through, you know,
more than what
they can do. You know, and that shines through Pat talking here, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think you had a great phrase. He's the custodian. Him and people like him are custodians of the river.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really interesting stuff. So, look, let's hear some more about fly fishing on the river, boy. And I first asked Pat to give us an overview of the river itself.
Yeah, well, the river actually rises up in Kildare and across the border then into Meath. It's it actually comes from a well. It's called Trinity Well up at Cabaret. And then flows down, and then you have a lot of the small tributaries that make it into the Boyne then what it is. If you're ever crossing the road heading for Kinnegad there at Clonard, you'll see where it widens out a good bit. But above that, then you have a lot of small tributaries that flow into it as well. And flows the whole way down, then it goes down into Longwood, meets with the Enfield Blackwater. Down further, then you meet the Stony Firth, then the Trimblestown. They're all big tributaries, so big spawning areas, and flows right down through Trim, through the town, and then on to Bective, down into Navan, down into Slane, down to all that historic part of Slane, and down into Drogheda.
And it's obviously, again, when those places you mentioned, Pat, like I think of kind of, you know, recent years in terms of kind of the increased urbanization as Dublin has been expanding out, and, you know, there's new suburbs and new urban areas. Has the river been affected much by the increase in urbanization?
You'd have a lot of water extraction from it, but even up at Longwood, if you went up to Longwood, like the canal itself there, like to have 2 6-inch pipes constantly pumping water out of the Boyne in to keep that canal going. That's what keeps the canal going. But it mightn't affect it that bad. The housing thing, all right, where we are noticing in the last few years there, it's getting a bit more polluted all the time. Mm-hmm. It would be...
But I suppose that's it. That's the importance, though, isn't it, part of clubs like yourselves and people like yourself that are kind of, you know, actively involved and actively engaged in the upkeep of the river to make sure that if anything's happening, to be on top of it. Like,
yeah, even up at on the other end of it, where like it branches off there in Navan and it goes to the Kells Backwater, which would go up to Virginia. And on up that area there, there's severe pollution up there, which some of the lads are complaining about all the time. Kieran O'Kelly now, he's one of the fellas that's up there and he keeps a good eye on it, and a few other people as well. And they have showed videos of overflows from Virginia, from the sewage plant and all that up there. And they're trying to build more houses in it as well. So a major way of thinking about the sewage, all the plants along it need something done to them. I even see it there in Navan now myself. And if you see some of the gunk that's building up on the rocks on it, it's just something else, you know?
Isn't that as well, and Tom, it'd be interesting your thoughts on this as well, is that the East Coast, because it's Dublin, there's increased urbanization on the East Coast primarily, is that, you know, you think of kind of fly fishing in Ireland and people think of the landscape and they think of Connemara and the west of Ireland and that kind of idyllic kind of tourist setting. Whereas the East Coast, you know, if we're not on top of it, is in danger of kind of being squeezed, like.
Yeah. It's not alone that, but believe it or not, this year, I'm not going to get into it too much, but Mead County Council have given permission to Dawn Meads to pump 400,000 litres. So they gave permission, but there's a lot of people up in arms. There has been loads and loads of objections, and there has been ecologists on it, working on it and all that kind of thing. Now, last year we had one of the driest years on the Boyne. And down that area, you see, if there's a good few weirs down that area, and if the salmon come up, the salmon, I suppose the deepest part of the Boyne where the salmon hold up when they come up, it's tidal up as far as Murray's Weir. That's there at the Corley Hole. It's on the Slane Road, and they cross the weir there. So if they go in there, there's a very deep stretch and they'll hold up there until they get a flood, and then they're able to go up and cross the weirs. So if all that sludge is going to be going into it, you know what I mean, it doesn't look good for the remaining stocks. Like, we're talking about a very endangered species here.
Just interesting, actually, just while you were chatting there, Pat, because again, I wasn't aware of the issue, savetheboyne.org, for anybody that's listening, which is about kind of pulling information together for people who want to kind of protect the Boyne and are opposed to kind of these kind of rulings. And I just see, actually, they have a press release from May 17th. So what's that? 2 weeks ago. Saying a recent judicial ruling against Dawn Meads on 25 counts on May 15th at Waterford District Court found Dawn Meads guilty of offences including exceeding emissions for solids, oils, fats, greases, and supplying the EPA with information which was false and misleading, and declarations given that information was truthful and accurate. They had a €75,000 fine, which was a mere €3,000 for each count. And Save the Boyne Group calls for a full review of all information supplied by Dawn Meads, and calls upon Dawn Meads to withdraw its proposal for waste to Boyne. So I suppose this group, Save the Boyne, are obviously trying to highlight this prosecution in Waterford as a bit of a red flag for what could potentially be wary of for the Boyne itself. I think, Tom, this is probably an issue we'll have to revisit because it's in my ignorance, I wasn't aware of it. But for anybody, check out savetheboyne.org. Really interesting information on that. And it's definitely something we'll follow up on, Pat. But come here, let's get back to fishing, man.
Yeah, okay.
And I know it's important, and it is very important when we have to highlight these issues for people that are ongoing. Yeah. But I did think it was, and it's funny, I only asked the question in the context, I didn't realize about this whole objection that was going on. But I did mean it, the question, in all sincerity, in terms of, you don't think of the East Coast as much when it comes to fly fishing because of kind of suburban areas and that kind of stuff. But paint us a picture of the kind of fishing. Is it brown trout, salmon, sea trout? Tell us what can you expect? Trout.
You would get sea trout up as far as Slane, and you get some in Navan as well. A few years ago, I had a sea trout 9 pound in Navan. I thought it was actually a salmon, but it turned out it was a sea trout when I videoed it. But yeah, you will get some up as far as there. We'd have a lot of brown trout, but in the last few years, since in the early 80s and onwards, for about 10, 15 years, we had some great brown trout fishing in it. But we have a lot more brown trout in it now, but they're smaller. The size has gone down. And it seems to be the case in a lot of, we have a lot of brown trout in the river, you know. So mainly what I would do, we'd still have perch, and there's perch and pike. There's a certain amount of pike in it as well. Some lads in different areas. But mainly what I do is I fish for trout and I fish for salmon. And the salmon has been good for the last few years, off and on. But we walk an awful lot of the spawning streams. And like our river up above from Beckduff all the way up to Longwood and up above it, and was all drained. And it was drained from 67, I'd say, some of the smaller stream, but that was every spawning stream that was in the river. That was on every spawning stream. So what they done was they just came in and they would just bulldoze everything out of it. Right? We had a lot of weirs in our own area. You see, there's to and fro's in it. In our own area, in Trim, it used to get a lot of flooding. It got bad flooding, and then they decided then the weirs were put in the 1700s, some of them, and they were put in for all the corn mills. You see these big old monuments of corn mills, and all these are defunct now, of course, but the weirs were left in there. And in our area, all of our area, they took out 13 weirs out of it. Now, there were small weirs, big weirs. There was some weirs on some of the spawning streams, we'll say, small ones, and they took all those out of it. But our river, when we were young, it was just absolutely fantastic. There were lovely islands in it that had been there for, they'd built up from hundreds and hundreds of years, you know. And we spent our whole youth on those islands fishing, loads of perch, loads of everything on them. And it kind of, when they took out the weirs and all that, then, well, a lot of the perch disappeared, because it kind of turned more into a game, fast water, than it would have had for holding perch in that. There's certain places that the perch in it still. But they drained it from that then till about 86. And what was to happen then was that one of the secretaries, he's only dead there a couple of weeks ago, Lord of Mercy on the man, but he was a secretary long before I was. And he fought tooth and nail. The government said at the time that they would restore, they would go back and restore all the spawning streams back to their original. But they even built a hatchery. They built a hatchery down in Virginia. They started it around the 70s. And they started stripping fish just to restock the bine after the drainage. But in 1987, roughly, the bine drainage was signed off on. In other words, it was signed off on before all this rehabilitation work was done. But then came Dr. Martin O'Grady, Lord of Mercy on him, and Karen Delante and Inland Fisheries. And they worked with the OPW to try and revamp a lot of the spawning areas. Then in 2011, we as stakeholders, we got involved then in doing some of these rehabilitation work. Well, it was a lot of the boys from Kells first, and over that when Kilbride Anglers involved there as well, and Navan. We set about doing the work. So I'll give it to you briefly. Where we done it, there was about a mile of a stretch, and in that mile of a stretch, there was only one area where there was salmon spawning on it. Now, a good bit of work had to be done. Big boulders had to be brought in to speed up the water. We had to put deflectors into it, right? But as I say, it was all done and drawn for us. So in 2014, we started on phase one. And after phase one, we had, that year, we had 17 reds on it. The following year, we done phase two and finished up that section of it. And along with putting in the spawn and areas, we put in a lot of deflectors and all that kind of thing to strengthen up banks and all that kind of stuff. So there was some of it took weeks off work and whatever. I was kind of half retired, so I was up there all the time, and some of the lads took the time off work, and we got the contractors in, and we done the whole job anyway, and it was a major success. Major. We had nearly up to 50 reds in it.
That's phenomenal success. Yeah.
Now, salmon, when they're passing by, if they're going up by an area and they see nice, fresh gravel, naturally enough, they're going to spawn in it.
Listen to you there, Pat. It's interesting. You know, you're more than just fishing. You know, you're very much into the habitat restoration, preservation. You know, was that always an important part of fishing side of it for you? Like,
well, as I said, secretaries before me, since the OPW, since it was drained, you see, half the people in the country were up in arms over them taking out the weirs, and other people were saying, no, that's a good idea. It'll allow free flow of fish up. You know, in most countries now, they're trying to take out weirs and all that kind of obstructions. So we were trying to get something done with the spawning streams. There's other rivers that we were after doing now at the minute. There was another river there that we were trying to get done for the last 20 years.
Do you ever feel like you're, Jesus, I just want to do a bit of fishing, you know, instead of having to fight fights?
Yeah, I do an awful lot of fishing. I fish every day. And I love me fishing, but if there's something to be done, it's kind of like what Warren Buffett said once time. He said, someone is sitting in the shade today because someone painted or planted a tree a long time ago.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Never heard that one before.
Yeah. So the pride that we have, I tell you wouldn't believe it, even on that other job that we done that was told we'd done it over the 2 years. There's some of them lads never caught a salmon in their life. Some of the lads never fished for a salmon in their life, do you know?
No. I mean, you can see it there, Pat. I mean, no doubt you have a great sense of pride in what you've done, and rightly so. I mean, some of the figures that you've given there and some of the jobs you've done, you know, they've been to the core. And like, I mean, I think a good word for you as a fisherman is you're also custodians as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
Tell me, is the salmon run on it now? What's it like? Now, obviously, I know numbers are down everywhere anyway, but is it for the boyne? Is it a grouse run you get? What's the spring run like? Tell us a bit about that.
We usually get a fair few good spring fish. If you're going to get a fish anywhere, a good fish, you're going to get them on the boyne. You know what I mean? But it all depends on water height as well. But this year, the water has been high. So, in other words, they'd come up. If the water was very low, they'd get stuck down and slain. If the water is higher, they'll run as far as Navan. If it's higher again, they'll go up and they'll go up the black water, or they'll go up the boyne up to Trim. And they'll go up and find their deep water and they'll sit there till they're ready to spawn, you know. This year hasn't been bad. I usually get a couple of fish before I go mayfly fishing, you know. And this year I haven't. I got a pull of a few fish, but just didn't. Neither here nor there. I just love fishing anyway. I love fishing, so it doesn't bother me. But yesterday I was out and I caught a nice fish, and I got another nice fish today. So there's a few fish being got, and they're all quality fish. They're all nearly all double figure fish, you know what I mean?
You know, you look back in literature, as we always do here, and like in A. Luce's book, he talks about, is it the mollies or the dollies? What is it?
The mollies.
The mollies, he writes about it. He talks about catching spring salmon in it. So, you know, put it this way, it's not a hardcore secret. You know, it's been known for years that the boyne has a reputation for big salmon.
Yeah.
I've always known that.
But the kind of they built a road through and a bypass through there and they fecked up the mollies altogether.
Oh, did they actually?
Yeah, you wouldn't catch fish in it now.
Oh wow.
You might catch them in one or two places above that, but
right. Oh.
And that was
that's interesting to know, because I remember that's one thing when I said we were going doing this, I said, ask about that, because I remember reading about it. With Bayless talking about it. That's disappointing.
Yeah. The mollies was back in the day, it was the place to go. Yeah, that's where you got your big spring. Well, up on Trim as well, and on up into Longwood.
Pat, does it get much of a grills run?
Yeah, they get a fair bit of a grills run, yeah. Yeah. But it's like that. It's not like the Moy or anything like that now. No. What you do is you get your spring fish, and then later on, maybe sometimes in June, you'll still get a lot of the summer, what they call a summer run, but they're still double figure fish.
Right.
Yeah, they're springers. They're springers, but they're late springers.
And also, as well, even though like you're at the mercy of the drainage and everything, there's still a bit of fly water there, I'm led to believe, isn't there? There's still decent on the point in general.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, there's great fly water, yeah. The fly life that's up there now is something else in it, you know.
Is it actually, yeah?
Oh, yeah, there's great fly life in it. And
that's really heartening to hear, because, like, I mean, like, we started off and I suppose we're just talking and we had to highlight it, what you said, like, that there are problems there. But it's kind of good to hear that there's still good fly hatches there on the river.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you would get mayfly hatches on it and a lot of spinners, and at night time there would be good. The sedges, mind you, are not as good, I think, as they were in the 80s. I used to fish it in no place else, because that time you'd be just trying to keep a house going and everything. You wouldn't be taking a couple of weeks off, going off to a lake or anything. You'd be just tipping down to the river there at 9 o'clock at night.
I take it you weren't fishing every day then.
No, absolutely not. No. Yeah.
And I harken back to one of the older books as well. There's a bit in The King, Man May Fish, where he talks of somebody who got held up during the Easter Rising on that Easter weekend. So he had 2 days fishing. So he had to stay down because the Easter Rising was happening. So the first day, he had 8 fish for 16 pounds, okay? And because he had stayed, he couldn't get back to Dublin. He fished the second day. The second day, he had 16 fish for 8 pounds.
Oh. Yeah.
But I always remember that, read the bit like, God, 8 fish for 16 pounds. I was going, wow, that's good for a river, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's really good. So obviously, there's still a few of those fish around.
Yeah, there would be. Yeah, yeah.
And come here. Do they come up at mayfly time? They show their
That's often the times when you get the bigger ones. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
And how was the mayfly this year? How was the hatchery?
I'll tell you the truth. I was more on the lakes than I was on the river. Mm. Now I was talking to some of the lads that were out fishing last Sunday. And they said it was a nice lot of mayfly on it, you know. But
and is the hatch concurrent? Does it happen at the same time, roughly? Like on some rivers, I know here, the Clare River side us, from what I know, it can generally be that bit later, a week or two later on the river.
Yeah, no. It had happened here this time. Yeah, it had happened here now, roughly the same as the lakes and whatever, yeah.
Do you fish much? Have you fished much around Ireland? It's beyond the Boyne. Do you like to go anywhere?
Yeah, I'd go to the Erith, I'd go to the Moy. I go down to the Blackwater an odd time. I go to the lakes a lot as well. I'd fish a lot on the lakes now from mayfly time, and that's, I'd fish them. But salmon fishing now, the Erith, the Moy. Yeah, any of those small little rivers, I'd love it. Yeah. Go away as well. I've gone New Zealand a few times, and I've gone to Canada and Alaska, and Canada East Coast and West Coast. Mm. And I've been in Yellowstone and places like that. Well, I went over there with the Federation of Fly Fishers. I'm an examiner with them, and sometimes you get the call to go. I was in Poland last year now. And that was very interesting. Lovely people over there. Lovely. I fished a bit on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was after doing that much fishing here, and I was with a Dutchman, and we went down in the river, and I just sat in stone and just watched. Lovely. Some days I was in.
Lovely.
And there were some of them there, and they were good, lovely people. Yeah, grand.
What was your favourite spot?
Trout fishing, it'd have to be New Zealand.
Yeah. Mm.
I was on the west, Alaska. Alaska was very good. You catch a lot of fish in it. And there's a lot of fish in it. I fished the west coast of Canada, caught a lot of fish, foul hook a lot of fish in it. But I really loved, I was reading a book, I can't think of the name, but I remember I had it in my locker and I used to read it every so often. And I was over with my son over in Boston, and I stayed a long weekend, and then I had a Jeep hired out, and I said to him, I'm going to go up to Canada. And I drove up to Quebec, and there was 3 rivers up there that I wanted to fish. And one was the Miramichi. The other one was the Cascapedia. And the Bonaventure, I didn't just get on it. I didn't just get on it. But if it was one, now I was up there and I got fishing on the Cascapedia. And I went into the local travel place there, a tourist office. And I was asking the woman in there, and she said, "Do you want a guide?" And I said, "No, I just want to go up and just go for a day's fishing on it." So she sent me up to this place, and it was only about $40-$50. And I says, "Are you sending me up to the back of beyond where I won't catch a fish? Because if you are, I'll be back here." But no, she says, "You'll catch fish, but nobody wants to go up there," she says, "because there's when you go off the dirt or off the tarred road, there's a dirt road for about an hour." So I drove up there, and I had, there was three beats, and I had them to myself, and I caught a few lovely salmon above them. Yeah.
Oh,
lovely. Yeah,
great to be able to say you fish in those kind of places.
Yeah.
What's your plan, Pat, for the rest of the season? Are you kind of just going to concentrate, stay on the Boyne, or are you going to be any other around the country?
I'm like you had Garrett Rudrock on there last week, and I had the same thing. Last year I was diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Oh wait, jeez.
Yeah, so it was very high. It's at least 9, and it was whatever. So anyway, I went in and had surgery, blah blah, and everything's grand. And it didn't hold me back in any way. I couldn't say enough about the nurses and the doctors up there and the advice that I got, all that kind of stuff. But I was waiting on blood results then, and I got them before Christmas, and they were very, very good. And I had to go back in 3 months. So I waited till I got them, and they were very good again. And the minute I got them, I rang the travel agents, and I booked the flight. Booked flights to Iceland, so I'm going to Iceland.
Fantastic. Fair play to you. That's in the end.
Yeah, the end of August. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. The end of August.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll get some fish there, I'd say. I look forward to seeing those pictures.
Yeah. Looking forward to that myself. I just never have been, so why not?
What will you fish for? What's the plan?
I'm going fishing for salmon with a fella from England there that I know. He's a cast instructor. He runs kind of a trip out there, Chris Haig. So he came up. I just seen two rods coming up on the East Wrangler. So I'm going to fish for salmon there. But I also booked 4 days before that. So I'm just going to hire a car. It's a shocking expensive place now. It's dearer to hire a car than it is for the flights. But I'm going to hire a car, and I'm just going to go. I know some people over there that were guides, and give me some pointers of a couple of places to go fishing for trout or sea trout, or just bum along. I don't care.
Brilliant.
Just enjoy the scenery.
But our final question to you, Pat, which we ask every guest is, and you've obviously got a few adventures under your belt already, so I'd be interested to hear what this is. What's your most memorable fish on the fly?
I'm 68 now, so I was coming up to my 60th birthday. I have a few, but this one kind of stuck out with me anyway. But I had an old rocking chair in the house, and it was kind of made with steel and everything. The daughter of the family, I always tell them, I said, never buy me anything. Just don't waste your money, because I just hate anybody buying me anything, because I hate waste. So the oldest daughter came to me one day, and she said, "Dad," I was over in her house, and she had this lovely reclining rocker, you know, one that just goes out, and I loved it. But she says, we know who we're going to buy you. And I says, "What are you going to buy me?" And she says, "One of those recliners." I says, "No, you're not going to buy me that." "But Dad, we don't know what you get you. It's your 60th birthday, blah, blah, whatever." I says, "I know." I was now down at the Galway Fair, and I seen Pat Nolan was down there, and he had a lovely reel. It was a hardy reel. And it had only wind on the right. It was a salmon reel. I haven't even got the box for the year. I can't even think which one it was, the name. But anyway, I think it was an Edward or whatever. I looked at it several times, and I'm going to buy it. And I don't know. I just didn't feel like on the day, you know, the end of the season. And I just left it there. So I rang up Pat, and I said, "Pat, have you still got that reel?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll send it up to you tomorrow." "Right," I says, "my daughter, go on and she'll pay you for it." So I rang her and I told her, and she was delighted. "Yeah, well, at least we can get you something." So I brought it home, put the line on it and the whole lot, left it there. And I says, "I won't use it now." So took a photograph of my birthday. "Thanks very much." Sent it all on the WhatsApp to the kids, and they're delighted. So over it goes to Navan. And I went in and I started fishing. There was nobody there. The water was a bit high, and there's lovely fast water in it, you know. Cast out a couple of casts, and I went down, just moving down along through, and the next thing I hit the salmon. And I mean to say, the salmon went down like a bat out of hell. But he just kept going, and I was wondering where I was going to head. Down into the back end of the stage, and I was wondering if I was going to, and I was trying to choke. There was something wrong, and I was trying to choke the line with my hand, whatever was wrong. So I didn't know whether I was going to have to get up on the bank and run down after him. But anyway, he stopped. And when he stopped, I tried to wind. But I hadn't tightened the arbor knot on it, and the line was spinning when I started to go. So my heart was in my mouth. And from years ago, having bad gear and everything, and I was standing on a rock right beside the wall. So when the fish started coming up, I started throwing all the line. And I threw all the line into the river to bring it, because if I left it at my feet, it would have been, you know, all tangled. So I done that twice, and he ran down again. And then I gave it a good chuck, and I got him on the reel. And then to hear that reel singing down was absolutely. And the fish was the best fish that I ever got. Well, in Ireland, on the fly anyway. He was 23 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have, that was, I have, I got a fellow in Scotland. I measured him, and I got a fellow in Scotland to meet. It's all catch and release on the vine. So I said, if I ever got a salmon over 20 pounds, I'd love to get him stuffed. But he couldn't, obviously. So I got a replica made of him, and I have it there. So that was...
You showed me the picture of that before. That's fantastic, actually. Yeah.
That was, that's a serious memory to have. So I took a photograph of the fish.
When you sent me the picture though, you didn't tell me that the line was going around the spindle of the reel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Heartache stuff. Heartache. Fish of a lifetime. Like.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh.
Got 23 pounds. And what? So that was 8 years ago, was it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 8 years ago. Yeah.
So is it the stamp of fish that's there in the boy?
Yeah. There's an odd one. Another one.
I think there's a lot more. I just think the boy and anglers aren't saying. They're being very coy about it. John, there's the odd one. You let that one slip about 23 pounder anyway. Good man.
Yeah, well, fish of a lifetime, you couldn't hold that one back anyway, you know.
So. Well, Pat, tight lines for the rest of the season, especially Iceland.
Yeah, hear
how you get on. Let us know. Send us on the pictures. I'd love to have a look at it. Like I'd say, it'll be another memorable trip. You might get a few 23 pounders.
Really, really looking forward. Anything at all. I can go to a river and I can. I always say I don't have bad days fishing, because if I don't catch nothing, it doesn't bother. I love it, and I love casting and meeting fellas and just having a bit of crack.
And keep fighting the fight.
Yeah,
will do. No bother.
Thanks, Billy, for
really
joining us.
Really good talking to you. Really good talking to you. And fair play to you. As I said as well, it's not just been a fisherman, but been a custodian as well. Fair play to you.
Me and a lot of other lads on the bond as well.
Yeah, no, that goes out the same.
Okay, thanks very much.
Our thanks to Pat O'Toole for joining us on the show. And don't forget to rate, review, and follow the Ireland on the Fly podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from.
Plus, you can keep up to date on IrelandOnTheFly.com as well as on Instagram. And myself and Tom will be back with another episode about people and places of fly fishing in Ireland.